Hey guys, this is Lauren over at Century 21 Property Advisors. Welcome to the podcast.
FHA, they call it PMI, private mortgage insurance. But it's not private, it's government backed. Your private mortgage insurance is actually on the conventional loans because it's private companies that you get your mortgage insurance through. So that's all kinds of confusing. But that's the way they put it together. Well, before we were all here.
So FHA is the only one that is PMI.
Correct. The others are just MI.
MI.
But everybody, consumers all understand PMI because that's what they've heard. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. I'm not gonna argue with them over a letter.
So is that an insurance that you shop around for?
Yes,
or
I do.
Is it gonna be the same no matter what?
No. There are Guild has access to 5 different mortgage insurance companies. Now, everybody gets really comfortable with one or two. Like, I love one of them, a company called Radiant. They're just simple, they're smooth, they're easy. 9 times out of 10, on your really good borrowers, they're all close. When you got somebody with a lower credit score, you're doing maybe a second home, you're doing something squirrely, then you start shopping around and looking around to seeing who's got the better mortgage insurance rates. And sometimes, especially with Guild being a bigger company, we get discounts on mortgage insurance because we're a bigger company. Like, they'll give us cheaper rates than they'll give a smaller local bank that doesn't send them near as much business. You know, we're sending them business across the nation.
So
Radiant wants to take care of us.
Yeah.
Like two-hour turnaround times that nobody else, none of the smaller companies get because they're not sending the volume we send.
Is there a rule of thumb on, stop filming me, rule of thumb on like approximately how much, like if you're getting a $100,000 loan, about this much of your payment's going to be PMI or MI?
On an FHA loan, yes. It is 0.8% of the loan amount, 0.85 divided by 12.
Okay.
So, on a conventional loan, there's not, because it's all credit score and LTV driven.
Okay.
FHA, so let me, for an example here. If I'm buying a $125,000 house, put 3.5% down, I got a loan amount of 120 and some change. Times 0.85% is $1,000 divided by 12. My MI is $85 a month.
Okay.
That one is you can calculate. Conventional, depends on the credit scores. The higher the credit scores, the lower the MI, just like the interest rate. Better the credit scores, lower the interest rate.
Yeah, so that's probably a subject that as realtors we shouldn't even address.
I don't, yeah.
Within the lenders.
Yeah. It's so subjective, it's tough because it changes all the time.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't change, it changes for every borrower. FHA, 0.85 is what it is. That one's not gonna change. Good question, so I like it. You're making me think. All right, so next biggest thing that we're working on, and especially when we're talking about a pre-qual, is income. What does a borrower's income look like, and where is their income coming from? So these are some of the big pitfalls that we see. Y'all know number one is a big no-no. If they change jobs, without telling us especially, we're all in trouble.
That says job title, so a promotion would be a problem within the same company?
Without telling us, it can be.
Okay.
And here's why. We're going to do a verification of employment within 3 days of closing. 99% of the time, it is the day of or the day before closing. Because closings get moved sometimes, and if we do it 3 days out and we get pushed today, well, then we got to do it again, and we just wait till the day of or the day before. So when we start doing our closing documents, somebody's doing a verbal verification of employment. If their title's changed, well, then questions will arise. Did they change? Did they get a raise? That's good. But did they take a demotion, and did their pay get cut? Well, now we have to go back and ask those questions. And it's not that it would kill the loan, but it may slow us down for a day to get those questions answered. So yeah, letting us know, hey, I'm taking a promotion. Awesome. Let me get in touch with the company to verify it right now. Overtime, so this is a big one that I see a lot right now, especially with oil field guys. There's a bunch of oil field guys that live in this town and work in West Texas.
And overtime is a huge problem.
Overtime is huge because those guys, and I know a ton of them, they're one on, one off, they're two on, two off, but when they're working, they are working. But they're not paid when they're off. So, and I've got a friend of mine that I'm trying to do a loan for right now. He was with the company for 5 years, left there for a year and a half, and went back. Well, that year and a half he left, he didn't get bonuses, and he got half the overtime. Well, now that he's been back a year now, I still have to average his current high overtime with the little overtime he was getting here. And I can't count his bonuses because he doesn't have a 2-year history of it. And he can't buy a house yet, even though he makes well enough money to buy one. I can't get him qualified because I can't count the income sources. Because he's two on, two off. And of course, then I can't just run his hourly times 40 because it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Because that's counting working every week and he doesn't work every week.
Okay.
So,
did
those guys.
Did you explain to any of that?
Have they taken it on or off? Okay, so per diems is actually a point right now that they're all Fannie Freddie, the conventional and the government loans, are kind of reviewing and pulling back on. Because it's non-taxable, so they don't always want to give you credit for it.
Okay.
So I would say per diems right now are case by case. I can get some done, some I can't. Depends on the entire picture. So that's one that I've right now we have to go to our underwriting manager on. I've gotten a couple approved, but I've had one or two, he can say no on. There wasn't a good enough history.
But is per diem considered income? It's not technically income.
It's not.
It's a living expense.
It's living expense. It's reported on their paychecks usually, but it's generally not reported on their W-2s because they're not taxed for it.
Right.
And therein lies the problem that the government agencies are having with it. Well, it's here, but it's not here, so we have to get the verification of employment to be just right, and then we still contradict our numbers, so how are we going to, what are we going to do with it? And with the oil field and the pipelines becoming so prevalent these last couple years, and per diem becoming more and more used, they're starting to have problems with it. So yeah, it can cause a loan to fall apart, you know, especially when I talk to one of these guys, or if an inexperienced loan officer talks to one of these guys and he says, oh yeah, I'm in the oil field, the weeks that I'm working, I make $4,000 a week. And if he just goes 4,000 times 26, because he's only working half the month, half the weeks, and he takes that as his income, but he doesn't realize that 1,000 of that is per diem that he may not be able to count,
right.
My numbers are going up.
And
I may
be... It feels like income to them, because
right.
Usually
it's
per diem is
higher
than what they're spending on housing and
yeah.
Stuff.
It's
so
money
in their opinion, it's like part of their paycheck.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly that. And so for us, sometimes we're able to count it. It's one of those touchy things.
So the loan officer has to know to ask how much of that is per diem.
And has to know to ask, not just take their word for it. And this is something that I say often. You know, I gotta see it. I gotta see the numbers. I need a pay stub. You know, if you're in the oil field, I'm gonna ask you for a pay stub early in the pre-qualification mm-hmm. process. And I'm probably going to ask you for your last pay stub last year.
Okay.
The reason I'm asking for that is I can take this one year to date, I can take that one, and I can run my averages. If I just take this one, but you might have gotten a raise or your overtime may have changed, I may be in trouble later. And that's happened to me. You know, we've all learned things because we got burned by them. You know, we don't learn things just because somebody told you the first time. It never sticks, right? You only learn it when you get burned by it.
The hard way.
I've learned the hard way. So if I can get the current one and last year's end of year pay stub, not the W-2, but the pay stub, because I want everything broken out, then I can run some good numbers. So
that's good to know.
Extra questions that we ask that people are like, well, this
so
other guy didn't.
Of
oh yeah, we got a bunch of them in Granbury.
Yeah.
They're all driving those huge $1,000 F-250s that are jacked up.
$1,000 a month,
yeah. Yeah, it is. This one is unique and it will bite you from time to time. Child support and alimony. Texas, we don't see a whole lot of alimony. It's rare. It's there from time to time.
Is it the same as spousal support?
It's exactly
same
what it is.
Okay.
In other states, alimony is very prevalent. In Texas, it's spousal support and it's a short period of time. Sometimes in other states, in California, you get alimony and you're on a ride until you get married again sometimes. I've seen a couple divorce decrees from there, and I'm like, wow, that's just tough. So, but child support. The key to child support, and this is kind of a double-edged sword, if you're paying child support, I count it as a debt until you are no longer paying it. So it goes against your numbers, into your debt ratio, until that kid turns 8, actually until the kid graduates high school, because you're still usually paying it through high school. But if you're trying to count it as income, you have to have it for 3 more years.
Three or more.
Three or more. So the day, and they don't count till graduation, they count the day you turn 18. So if that child, if we close after that child turns 15, I can't count child support. It goes away.
Okay, because you got less than 3 years.
You got less than 3 years, the day they turn 15.
So do you go by a divorce decree on if you're paying child support? Because I know some friends of mine have negotiated to get it through college because
they're
still living at home and that sort of thing. So you have to see
a divorce decree. We won't count it as income in those situations because they're only going to count until the age of 18, no matter what the divorce decree says. But as a debt against you, yes.
Okay.
They're going to look, and people hate giving them to me. I'm like, I need a divorce decree. They're like, this thing 20 pages deep. I'm like, that one's short. Normally they're 30 to 35 and have a child support order along with it sometimes. So I have to have it every time. Most of them, they've got a digital copy or they bring it to me. We'll copy it. We'll scan it. I'll give you an extra copy so you don't lose one. So, yeah. So that's one of those things. And so here's newly divorced. I got to show you've gotten it for at least 3 months to be able to count it. I can't just count it the day the divorce is final. Now, if it's a debt, the day the divorce is the final, it counts. But if it's counting as income, I got to show you've gotten it 3 times at least. If it's going through the state, through the Attorney General's office, it's easy. If it's paid personally, sometimes they want to see 12 months canceled checks. Sometimes they want proof that it's going in the bank. So there's a lot of different ups and downs to that. 9 times out of 10, it's paid through the Attorney General's office. It's taken out of a pay stub. It's put into the bank. We see it on a deposit. We rock and roll. When it's paid personally is when it becomes a little more difficult. Excuse me. Self-employment, you guys know that because you're all self-employed. 9 out of 10 realtors in this county can't buy a house. Not that they don't make the money.
They'll show it.
They've got a great CPA. And the great CPA, just like a great loan officer, knows where to move things around and where to put things. My favorite line on a tax return, I got two of them. Depreciation and depletion. I get every dollar of it back. Those are things that you guys don't worry about, but your CPA does. So when I start working with somebody and they're self-employed, I got a guy that closed, when did Chandler? He closed on the 31st. Been working with him for a year because he's got his own trucking business out of Stephenville. And this guy is all over the nation. Half the time he and I've talked, he's been up in the north. And he called me one day from North Dakota. Well, I'm on a break. I can't drive for a little while. So what do you need from me right now? Great, great guy. We started talking last year. His income from 16 was half of what his income was in 17. So we have to average those together. Here's the number I can use. Here's what you can buy. 6 months, he looked for a house in that price range and just couldn't find it. January rolls around. Okay, well, this is where I want to be in my price range. Okay, was your income this year close to what it was in 17? Oh, yeah, it was. Okay, get your CPA. Get the tax returns together. If they show the same amount of income that they did in, if 18s look just like 17s, we're fine. But that's one of those things. I can tell you, hey, I'm doing my analysis. I need you to show this much in income
to
qualify.
That's what I was going to ask.
I can run numbers backwards. If I have,
so you take the hit and pay a little more taxes for a couple of years before you buy a house.
Yeah. You want to buy this much of a house and you have these debts, here's what I need in income. You and your CPA go figure out how to make it work. Or go pay something off and I need less. So, different things like that. But self-employed, you've got to have 2 years.
I know depletion.
It's writing, it's the same way you're writing something off. It's, okay. I don't, you're above my pay grade there. I just know okay. I get it back. I just know I get it back.
Okay.
So, rental income is the same as self-employed. If I'm going to count rental income, you have to have had rental properties for 2 years. Now, that doesn't mean every property you own has to be on your tax return for 2 years. You just have to have a 2-year history of managing rental properties. You know, if you bought a rental property 6 months ago and you bought another one and you want to negate that first payment with the rental income, I may or may not be able to do it because we don't know how you're going to look at the end of the year on that. And that's what the loans are concerned about there.
You don't count a full 12 months of rental income, do you? So is it 75%?
Correct. So we counted 12 months, but we count
75%. 75% of 12 months.
Different situations, different answers. Okay. You know me, and I rarely give just a yes or no answer.
Yes.
But and I know that y'all hate that from time to time.
In most cases, a whole year's worth of rental income is not going to be counted as income.
Correct.
From a mortgage lender standpoint.
Correct. Okay. And 9 times out of 10, I'm looking at what they've claimed and what they've written off, and I'm counting the bottom line off their tax returns.
Okay.
So that's usually where I'm going more than anything, is I'm not looking at the rental income on the lease agreement. I'm looking at what they filed and claimed at the end of the year. And that's what I'm able to use. Does that make sense? Now, where the 12 months comes in and the 75% is if they've owned a property and it's not on their tax returns. They've owned properties for a number of years, but this one's new. Okay, give me the lease agreement. I'm going to count 75% of the income, and then I'm going to take the debts off of it.
So they've been showing rental income for a couple of years. And then they buy a new one.
If they go to buy a new one after that first one they bought, then okay, I can count this income, and here's how we do it. And it's 75% of the lease agreement, and then we're going to subtract out mortgage, taxes, insurance.
Right. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. So, the verification of employment, we've got staff that calls every company that somebody's worked for the past 2 years and verify the dates they worked there, how much they made. So that's why for us, phone numbers are very important. And knowing that we can get in touch with somebody is important. It can slow a loan down. It slowed one down for me last month because we had W-2s, but for 20 days, this company wouldn't call us back, wouldn't call us back, wouldn't call us back. Finally, you know, we had our underwriting approval, but it was a condition that we had to verify that job. And it took us 20 days to get him to call us back because he wasn't a current employee. They didn't care. So he had to call a friend at the company to talk to HR, you know, so there's different ways to make that happen.
What is that VA residual income?
So VA is the only loan program that does this, but after your debt ratio is laid out, VA also wants to know that you have so much money left over at the end of the month. We've got your income. We take out your house payment, we take out the debts on your credit report, and VA says, based on the number of people in the house, you have to have this much left over after we subtract all that out. And it can make or break your loan. Now, 9 times out of 10, it's not a big deal, but 1 out of 10, it will blow it up. And that's usually something that we're figuring up front.
But, so you go pay off a credit card or something that's on your credit report to balance that out?
Yes. Or we shop for cheaper homeowners insurance.
Something.
Yeah, something like that. But that's what that is. An inexperienced loan officer is just going to put the numbers in, see the approval, and go, and not realize you have to play with the income a little bit for that residual. Like on a VA, part of that residual income is we take their federal taxes out, and they calculate the residual income off of it there. It's the only loan program you do that for. But you know, I had it happen to me early in my time. I didn't pull my taxes out, and I gave somebody an approval. And then Paulette comes back in and she goes, Scott, you have to do this and this first. Well, I was able to salvage it because we went and paid something off. We got cheaper insurance. But that's one of the first things that Mary and I both do on a VA loan. Give me your income. Let me calculate this so I know my residual's okay. Make sense? VA, every loan has its own unique things in and out, and that's not necessary for you guys to worry about in the long run, but it's all floating around in the back of our brains. Collateral is the property. We're rocking. So, property issues can arise. Y'all all had property issues before. You haven't, but it'll come. Don't worry, a property issue will pop up.
I have issues, don't worry.
You know,
those manufactured homes are going to sell in the first 5 years.
So, you know, I'm not shy to say, hey, I've had these issues, you're going to have these issues, here's where your headaches are. And that's what this whole class is about, is here's the headaches to watch out for. They say, commission, they say I'm commissioned, a red flag should go up and say, okay, make sure you tell your loan officer that. You know, oh, well, I've got this self-employment business on the side, red flag should go up, make sure you tell your loan officer that. Oh, well, there's rotten wood on the back of my house, red flag should go up, make sure the loan officer knows that. So there are property issues that can arise. We all know that, we've all had it happen. FHA, VA, and USDA are picky on properties. They don't want peeling paint. They don't want rotten wood.
Or broken windows.
None of them want broken windows. Broken windows, broken steps on stairs are considered health and safety issues and foundation issues. Mm-hmm. No loans will close unless those issues are fixed. Roof depends on how the appraiser looks at it.
Yeah.
I mean, if there is a wet spot on the ceiling, yeah, the appraiser's going to say, hey, go get a roof report. Tell me that everything's good up there. You know, if we're in the middle of July and the house has been painted and he says the roof is flat, he may not know that there's holes all over the place. Mm-hmm. He may not know that somebody walked up there in golf shoes. You know, so you'll find it out in October. Mm-hmm. But the appraiser may not see that. So, water, you know, got to make sure the house is completed. So, manufactured homes. You said it jokingly, but we do a lot of manufactured homes. I do a ton of them in Stephenville. Guild does them. Guild is not afraid of them like some other mortgage companies are. But some things you got to know. Can't ever have been moved. It's got to be in its originally delivered location. There's a state website that you can check that on. And we're an expert at it. I mean, I can find them, and if I can't find it, Paulette can. Like I said, she's the best. Got to be retrofitted. It's got to be attached to the ground correctly. And I'm going to talk about that for a second, because there's actually two standards of retrofitting within the state of Texas. There's FHA standards, which are government-based, and then the state has a standard. Guild, I'm always going to tell you that we want it to FHA standards. On a conventional loan, it really comes down to what the appraiser asks me. If the appraiser doesn't ask me if it's up to FHA standards, we're going to let it go to the conventional, to the state standards, and we're still going to be okay. I'm always going to tell somebody up front, make sure it's to FHA standards.
And you know it is because you get it.
An engineer's report.
Engineer's report, okay.
That's what it comes down to, is an engineer's report. Every FHA and VA loan, we're going to require an engineer's report no matter what. Now, I'm not going to order the engineer's report until I've got my appraisal back, because I want to make sure the house is valued right first before I spend the money on the engineer's report. It's kind of that step-by-step process. On a conventional loan, I'm only going to order the engineer's report if the appraiser asks for it. But I'm going to tell you guys, be aware, make sure they're ready. 9 times out of 10, the sellers know. So just it's have that conversation if you've got the listing.
Are we looking at like $500?
Engineer's report, depending on who does it, is anywhere from $350 to $500. The work for the ones that are put into the state standards to get them up to FHA standards, the cost to do that is usually anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000. Mm-hmm. What can drive it up is FHA does have some extra requirements. All the stairs have to have handrails. The skirting has to be in good shape. Now, I've had my engineer go out and he'll say, it's got to have replaced the skirting. And I'm like, the pictures in the appraisal show the skirting all the way around. And he says, well, it's got weed eater marks. Like,
it
really
always has weed eater marks.
I don't know of a perfect lawn maintenance guy, and I know that I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. So let's get over that. Is it there and is it functional? Yes, then we don't need it. Mm-hmm. But the engineer is going to be an engineer. Mm-hmm. That's where our job is, to go back to the engineer and say, hey, let's slow down on that part just a little bit. Okay. Handrails, never going to get around. If it's got a porch on it, got to have a rail all the way around it. Mm-hmm. Now, I have seen, and we all laugh about this, one without a rail. And the buyer says, well, this is what I want to do. The seller doesn't want to spend that much.
Right.
So the seller will put up something very, very shoddy, but it's a rail. And it'll work. And then the buyer goes in, tears it down, does what he wants to do, and everybody's happy. But we're going to require that on FHA and VA, they're going to require handrails.
See, that's a new one. Yeah, I didn't
know. If you got more than 3 steps, you have to have a handrail.
Thank you guys for joining us on the podcast today. Stay tuned for more coming from us soon.